And good morning once again, Chad Holmes Show, hour number two. Time is 9:06. Lots of sunshine, but a chilly start. Last check was 8 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, probably the coolest start that we've had so far in the fall season. And what can we expect as we get to the middle, towards the end of the work week? Well, to find out, we're joined again from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
I got to tell you, it is a great looking day as I look outside the windows here in downtown Wausau. Lots of sunshine, but it did start off very, very chilly here this morning. What do we expect for the rest of the day and as we get into the middle part of the work week?
Yeah, well, it does look like we are expecting to see an increase in cloud cover here for the day today, so enjoy the sunshine while you can. Overall, it's actually going to be our coolest day this forecast. Highs only getting up right around about the lower 20s. We should be around about the mid to upper 30s instead, so quite a bit below average for this time of the year. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures actually holding fairly steady right around about the lower 20s for the most part. A little bit warmer actually here for your day on Wednesday by more than 10 degrees as the warm front pushes through. Mostly sunny skies, high around 35 degrees, and a high pressure system settles into control for the second half of the work week. Thursday, similar day. Sunshine, high of 36, 32 here on Friday. Mostly sunny skies. Temperature-wise, pretty similar to start off the weekend. However, a little bit more cloud cover coming in, mostly cloudy with a high around about 35.
So fairly quiet, basically, because this time of year you never know when that first major snowstorm could come, but basically pretty normal, in fact, for this time of year, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and like you said, just pretty quiet this week.
Okay, terrific. Again, thanks for all the information. Have yourself a great day, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Thanks, you too.
Again, that's Jennifer Vucicki joining us from Weatherology. Talk to her each and every weekday at 9:06 for a complete look at the weather here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Right now, we're up a couple of degrees. It is 10 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Wausau. The winds are out of the west at 8 miles per hour, gusting as high as 17 miles per hour. So the wind chill factor is 2 degrees below zero. Right now, the dew point is... I'm so confused on my phone here. It's like for some reason the National Weather Service right now is not making Wausau one of its points, and they put Mosinee as it. So I'm now using my right here in the studio. It's a dew point of 3 degrees, relative humidity of 72%, the barometer at 30.25 inches, and the visibility is 10 miles. Thankfully, I got through that. The time is 9:09 here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, very happy to welcome back into studio the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. Every month, always great to have you on board, and thanks for stopping on by.
Do I need to make a proclamation?
And wait a second. First of all, Ian, go back in there and turn on the mayor's microphone, please.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
See, I was just making a smart aleck remark. Do I need to make a proclamation about this weather point? I mean, it needs to be Wausau.
I know. It was like for all the – I've been in this business for a lot of years, and I always pull up the National Weather Service site, and one of the points was always the Wausau Downtown Airport.
Right.
And like in the last month or so, it changed. Now it's Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee.
We'll get on that.
When I come on this program, I believe in accuracy. I'm not going to say it's – 10 degrees if it's 10 degrees in Mosinee,
yeah,
and
right.
It's not 10 degrees
here.
Southerly
here, you know, down, right, yeah, by the river, right by,
right, know, downtown Wausau. I say we're in downtown Wausau,
yeah.
The temperature is down. All right. Accuracy is important. And
let's go.
All right, but good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
I hope they had a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. A lot to be thankful for.
Absolutely. As we get into this time of year, before we get into the serious stuff, it's always nice to just talk a little bit. But
it's softened me up here.
The last couple of days, like the first day that we've come in here and I look outside and see all the snow. But also, you know, going into the winter, and one thing, I'm not a big winter guy.
Unfortunately. Sorry for you.
I know. But the good news is I'm very busy in the winter because of my work doing all the high school sports and all this stuff. You as the mayor, are you an outdoors person at all?
Oh my gosh, yes. I do love the outdoors. I like winter. And actually, I used to consider myself not so much a winter person. But I got myself some Carhartt overalls, and I am never cold now. So hiking, snowshoeing, all the things. Yes, do it.
That's funny because I was talking to my producer earlier in the show, and I had not bought any new winter jackets or anything like that in like 20 years.
They're different now.
And then yesterday, I went and bought, and I didn't buy one. I bought two.
It was all on sale, though, right?
It was all on sale, exactly. But the thing about it is I'm not excited to have nice warm clothing, which I am.
You're going to be so happy.
You know what I'm really excited about? I've decided that those will be the last winter jackets I ever buy.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You're starting to sound like my dad. He's like, oh, I'm never going to buy another leather jacket. Come on, man. You can.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Right. Oh, man. Well, let's talk about the one thing I wanted to start with, because last time we talked, we were talking again about public engagement.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there was going to be a public hearing concerning the budget. We're going to talk about the budget. But I wanted to ask, because, again, I'm not, my expectations are not high.
Sure.
But how many folks showed up to the public hearing and spoke and gave opinions on the budget?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody did.
What does that say?
That maybe people don't want to sound off that way. I'm going to take it as that because I did receive some emails and people stopped me on the street asking some questions. And, you know, we did have a good engagement over our budget, you know, one-on-one. And obviously that's impossible to do for 40,000 people, but it makes me think, what can we do to engage more people in this process? Do we care? I mean, I feel like we do care. I mean, we're at this point, I think we know what the public needs, at least as far as basic services. But, you know, there's some other stuff we can do. Cool stuff, weird stuff. You know, like there's stuff we can do. I would love to hear from people. And, you know, I'm lucky. I am available. People do talk to me. But
and I also ask that because along the same lines, so often we don't hear, whether it's, you know, in what I do and what you do and a lot of other people do, you don't hear it unless there's something that people either
wild,
well, they will either have a complaint about or disagree with or along those lines, and that can be difficult as well. I mean I find even here with this, I envy what you and other public officials do, because I was talking to one of my bosses yesterday, and you have to have a thick skin to be doing I do, and I don't have a great thick skin. Well, I know that you have a thick skin, but in terms of, you know, getting positive reinforcement, how much do you get in terms of, I know that you do get some folks that are very happy with the job you do in specific areas, but in terms of the, you know, the positive reinforcement versus the negative reinforcement, I imagine it's still difficult to hear things that sometimes can be, you know, at times hurtful.
Yeah, so I would say definitely there is more negative feedback than positive, as is all things, right?
It's like sports talk as
well. Right, and so what I try to do is I try to be the kind of person giving feedback that I would like to give feedback to me.
Sure.
So if I see something cool, I will stop and I'll say, hey, this is really great. Here's what I like about it. And so that actually gets people in the habit of doing things like that. You know, if you say that at City Hall enough times, people start talking to each other like that. It's really nice. So I think that's the opportunity there, is to do what you think it should be done, and people will follow.
Let's talk about last week, actually, council, and you were saying, I got to say, you were saying off the air, boy, I was so sick last week.
Oh, my gosh. Any other circumstance, I would have been a better, you know, person and not chaired that meeting and just been at home in bed. But it was the budget. I felt like I had to be there. If I don't chair, our council president has to chair.
Right.
And that means she can't sound off on the budget issues that matter to her. Because when you're chair, you have to wait until everybody's given their shot, and then you can talk about it.
Ultimately, what are the highlights? What are the things that, I guess, number one, the things maybe you're very happy or proud about within this budget? Maybe, again, are there areas that you still kind of worry about where you know that it's still going to be an issue as we move forward?
Yeah, so all of our, you know, non-represented city employees are getting a 3% raise, which is great. We care about that. We're talking about what that looks like for next year earlier now.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, we know inflation is going up, so that really matters. Making sure you're taking care of your people, that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we put a lot more money in for hot mix, which doesn't sound super sexy, but like that's the stuff we fill potholes with. So really excited about that. We put in a lot more money as it relates to that. Obviously, we've talked extensively about water and our water issues. We got, you know, millions of dollars from the federal government and state government. That's in our budget. Excited about that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be fixing a lot more lead service lines. And then, you know, we have some other cool things. We've talked about public engagement. We want to make sure not only are we getting people to the table to talk, but we're getting all kinds of people. So we budgeted a little bit for making sure we have translation services or childcare or anything that people need in order to participate in this, you know, stuff that we're doing.
The additional funding from the state obviously is a good thing, but I was talking in the last hour, and I will get to more of the comments made that, well, what does the mayor expect? You know, she's got more, another $1.1 million courtesy of the state government, those evil Republicans down there, and yet the taxes are still rising here in Wausau. But at the same time, we went a long time without any increases. And as you said, with the inflationary pressures being put on, it's still very, very difficult. I guess what's the big picture thought when it comes to the additional funding? And I would imagine you hope that it's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah, and this feels more like an ongoing conversation that we'll continue to have with the legislature. If I'm privileged to be here in the next biennial budget, I'll definitely be down there talking about how we use the money. And really, this year's budget was about $130 million for the city of Wausau. That's how much it costs us. And the cost to continue. So if we were only to do next year what we did this year, that's another $2 million. So that extra million from the state was very helpful in helping plug that hole, but we still had to dig it up somewhere else. And so unfortunately, sometimes that means asking our neighbors to participate and making sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. I will tell you, I've never made so many calls to people in federal government in my life. Like, do you have money? Do you have money? How can we do this? How can we do this? So there's a lot of opportunity to continue doing that, and I will continue doing that.
Do you ever get tired of doing that?
Yeah, it's awful. And also, like, I do it in my sleep. You know, but what do you do? That's the job here. That's what we got
to
do.
We have to go away for just a minute, but we're going to come back, talk more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. Again, always great to have her on once a month here on this program, as I imagine feeling good getting past that budget hurdle, but still plenty to talk about with the mayor. The time is 9:18. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Home show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com.
It just rolls off the tongue, the Chad Holmes Show.
I tell you, when it first started, I hated saying it. Now I just, you know, I've got it in my head where I'm almost not even listening to myself.
No,
At that point.
No.
At that point. And then
I think it's great.
When I say Katie Rosenberg, Mayor Wausau, I'm completely focused in on this. We talked a little bit about, you know, the additional funding before before we took that very quick... I'm trying to think. I'm not supposed to use a certain word anymore.
Oh.
Break.
Oh, you're not supposed to say break? Okay. Because you're never supposed to stop listening.
Exactly.
Listen to our advertisers, everyone.
Exactly. Exactly right. But, you know, you got that extra money in terms of the shared revenue. How much, and I think, you know, everybody that's, you know, their family and they go shopping to understands how the last couple of years the inflationary pressures have been there. I think it's actually very instructive to know when you're dealing with the kind of dollars that you're dealing with, how tough has inflation been the last couple of years? Because I think sometimes you look at numbers, it means one thing. As you've gone through the process of your budget, how difficult has the inflationary pressures been the last couple of years?
Yeah, there's one, on the one hand, you know, the supplies cost more, right? So that's like upfront. But the other hand, it's harder to get those supplies. Right. It's harder to find the workers that you need to get that done. They have so many jobs they could bid on. So like cultivating our relationship is a good place to be a good partner with is really important to us too. So it's been tough. And like I said, it's a $2 million gap between what we're doing this year and what it will cost next year. So just that alone, even if we did nothing new.
Something that's been concerning as well down in Madison with all these discussions, whether it's, you know, through shared revenue, whether it's been, you know, funding to the University of Wisconsin system, are some of the new rules that are being put in where they want to kind of take away some options in terms of, you know, with especially with the colleges, DEI, but also I think in terms of hiring practices. I guess, again, you know, for myself, I don't know all the intricacies of it. Have you found many restrictions, or have your hands been tied in any way in terms of use of this money?
Yeah, not really. We're okay. And that's because, I mean, really what we're doing with the money is pretty basic city services. It's not anything that would surprise folks. Now, when I look at what they're talking about with the university and things like that, and, you know, you hear a lot of people like, oh, we got to run this like a business. I think they're missing the mark here, because go to any Fortune 500 company, any company really, look at what their DEI policy is, look what they're doing here, look at the people that want to work there. Who wants to go to school at a place that doesn't value them? So I think we're really missing the mark here, and we're kind of using these political things to punish organizations that really we should be celebrating, because those are the economic drivers of our state.
When you look at the challenges right now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
a lot of them.
Exactly. And one of which we've talked a lot about is housing, and, and it continues to be a challenge. Where do we stand? I know that you're working very hard on that. Could you maybe lay out to our listeners, maybe who aren't as familiar, exactly what the challenges are for somebody like you and other members of city government, what you're trying to accomplish, and where would we like to go? Because so often, and something that you actually ran on a few number of years ago, is to be able to look to the future.
Yeah, we have to.
And again, I'm a, you know, as somebody looking on the outside, I'm just, this is such a huge issue right now. Could you maybe give an overview on where we are? What do you think we can do to get to where we need to be?
Yeah, so we did a housing study. We partnered with the county, several surrounding municipalities, and they kind of gave us the lay of the land and a projection of where we need to be. And for Wausau, we need over 500 new housing units by the end of next year in order to meet the market demand. That is just to meet the demand we have now. So we need to be aggressive in making sure that we are continuously encouraging people to build. And that's all kinds of housing, right? We desperately need affordable housing, and folks on lower incomes, we need places for those folks. We need middle of the road, you know, kind of housing. We need apartments. We need condos. We need single family houses. We need people to feel good leaving their single family houses to maybe go to a condo. Maybe, you know, we need places for everybody across all ages, across all demographics. So that's where we're at. It's been a slow go. It's hard to get folks excited to build in an environment where, in, you know, we have interest rates going up, we have costs of things going up, it's harder to find workers. So we really do have to be aggressive here.
How hard is the, again, the idea of not in my backyard? Because again, we've seen that from time to time.
Oh yeah.
Where you may feel like this is an idea that works for the community, but you have to have all the stakeholders, and that includes the people that are involved in that. And it just feels like, again, from the outside, that can be one of the biggest hurdles right now.
Yeah, I would say the first 2 years, we didn't have a lot of, you know, people saying, I don't want me building here. I don't want these apartments. I don't want this, you know, housing complex. The last year, though, we've seen a lot more people kind of not excited about change, and in fact, really angry. We've seen a couple at Plan Commission. We've seen a couple at the City Council, and it actually did affect what we were able to do. And some of our projects got voted down that we thought would be great for both low income and just, you know, kind of market rate stuff. So I don't know. People are in a moment right now, and I don't know if you've noticed in the public, people are kind of upset. And change is really hard to even think about. They don't want it. They don't like the way it is, but they also don't like what you're proposing. So it's a hard time to be alive right now.
You know, it was a discussion earlier that on Pat's show, which there's before mine, that I actually talked a little bit about before. And I think it kind of, it's a good example. I think you go back, now it's probably about 11, 12 years ago when the Affordable Care Act was passed, and there was a lot of pushback. The numbers looked
those
really
town
bad.
Town halls were
right,
wild.
Right. And then all of a sudden now here, you know, it's a much more popular piece of legislation. When you look at it, it's got great majorities on all the elements. Change again, and I think I may have talked to you about that, whether it's in our community, whether it's in our country, this country, if you look at history, change is never easy, is it? I mean, I think it's so much easier to be maybe an agent of non-change because you're not rattling the cages as much.
Absolutely. And when I think about what we need here, you know, I've been having these conversations, you know, because I'm thinking deeply about, like, why should people give me another shot? So, you know, I'm thinking deeply about what that means. And, you know, there are two kind of ingredients that you need, maybe three. And so the first one is definitely true participation, true public participation. You can't just be like, yep, we had a public hearing and nobody sounded off, so we're perfect. Like, we know that's not true, right? Like, we need to figure out a way to get true public participation in these processes if we care about it. Mm-hmm. The second ingredient is brave political leadership. You can't just go up there and be like, I'm going to do the whim of whatever, whoever shows up here, that's how I'm voting. You know, you do need to have a point of view. You need to articulate it and you need to be brave about it and believe that what you're doing is right. Okay. And then, you know, the third ingredient is kind of a place-based approach. You want to make sure you're talking to the people who are here, and that's part of participation, but it's also like not every idea is going to fit in this community. We got to make sure it does.
Mm-hmm. We have a news update coming up, but then we're going to get an update on water. We always have to talk about water.
Oh, I love water.
But also something I want to talk about as well is your viewpoint of the job. And as you said, this is a time where you're looking at it because you're going to be going in front of the voters again, and about what the job means in terms of what you think the job should entail, that the voters should know about and the residents should know about it as well. So we'll have more with Katie Rosenberg coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And back here, Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app with WASA Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on this Tuesday morning. I guess we got to ask about the water, because that, of course, is and one of the things that's been, you know, very interesting talking to you over the months is how you have embraced a very difficult issue in terms of, you know, you've got pressure from those who are just very upset about some of the cost involved. But yet you have said, hey, I am more than willing to basically put your, I think, political legacy on the line to make sure that people in this community, whether rich or poor, have clean water.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing, is that when you find out a crisis like this, and it was a crisis, finding out the PFAS, finding out that water rates are going to go up 65%, you know, like all of this stuff, like, what do? Do you run away from that? Or do you run towards it and you try and figure out what's going on here? So I decided, and apparently I was talking to somebody else, they said that this is a dangerous philosophy that I hold, but running towards that crisis, because what else are you going to do? You got to do it. You got to fix the water. So we've been pretty much water nonstop for the last 2 years. We worked on the PFAS issue. We have our temporary solution. We're non-detect. Because of, you know, all of the stuff related to supply chain, it looks like next year in the fall, our permanent solution will be in place. We're starting to work on finishing up our lead service line replacements. You might have seen Director Perez here a few weeks ago talking about that. We're really excited to take their money and do that. Thanks for the bipartisan infrastructure law funding. It really does make a big difference. We're able to do a 40% increase in lead service line replacements next year because of it.
I need to underline that.
Yeah.
Again, there is an actual benefit, and there's actual, sometimes it can be benefit, sometimes it can be the opposite of benefits when somebody passes something, whether in Washington or Madison or even locally. Again, I think for people to understand, because people hear the bipartisan infrastructure law, and in a lot of ways they don't understand it. What does it mean specifically in this issue, and why is it, what would it have meant to the WASA if this was not passed, and you're not getting this funding.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's just talk lead pipes only. We're using the money in a lot of different ways, but lead pipes only. We would have gotten our normal, you know, couple hundred thousand dollars to replace lead service lines, maybe 30 next year. Mm-hmm. And we would keep going on with that until we fixed all of them in the next 15 years, hopefully. And that's an $80 million project in today dollars. Now with this, we're able to kind of propel this project forward. We're able to do 500 lead service lines next year. We're getting almost $6 million in bipartisan infrastructure dollars that go directly to fixing the problem at a homeowner's house. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've asked homeowners to set up the plumber appointment, get it all done. We'll give you a reimbursement, and hopefully it covers the cost. Now, it's all done in one fell swoop. We're doing it. So that's a big, big deal, and it's a big difference. And people are still like, there's no way. Well, you're going to put a lien on my house. You know, I've been getting emails, and I'm like, no, we can't. This is the language in that, you know, 1,000-page bill. This is the language. You can't pay for this directly. So we're doing it. So it's a big deal. We're getting it done in 5 years instead of 15. That's huge. That's imagine inflation in 15 years or wherever. I don't mm-hmm. know. Maybe we won't be talking about that. I have no idea.
you talked previously also about potential litigation. I know that always is a long process. Updates on where you stand? Because I know you've been talking about working with others and any updates on that?
Yeah, so we seem to be closing in on at least one of those, what we're calling multi-district litigation. So those big kind of tort lawsuits against the manufacturers of these chemicals, PFAS. And so we're closing in on a deadline. It's mid-December, I think. And we have to decide, do we want to stay in on this lawsuit? And, you know, I've seen, you know, tables showing that we'd get anywhere from a couple million to tens of millions of dollars in a settlement. Mm-hmm. But we also then sign off saying, like, maybe we're not going to be involved in other things. So those are discussions that we're continuously having with attorneys, making sure we're making the right decisions for our community. But we should have some more information pretty quickly here on what we're up to next, because it's not just one company, it's multiple.
That sounds like good news. Again, hopefully,
you
want the polluters to pay, you know?
It's not fair to ask the people of Wausau to pay for this contamination that they had no idea they were ingesting. My goodness, that is absurd.
Exactly. And of course, and that's beyond even the cost involved with dollar signs.
That's a moral cost,
there, and we know there have been costs in terms of human life as well. So again, we're talking to Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. A lot of what we've been talking about in terms of, you know, the way that you do your job and some of these issues is a difference between what somebody who went to school and got a degree in political science would talk about laissez-faire when it comes to, you know, somebody within an office in terms of the way you do the job, and maybe somebody that is more of a, you know, trying to, you know, move forward in terms of solving problems. And as we go into 2024, as we go into an election cycle, both, you know, here in the city of Wausau and elsewhere, talking about the way that you do the job.
Sure.
And I'm going to put a quote again. Quote from your opponent, Alderperson Denny, who is running for office. And I think it's great to have an idea, again, with backgrounds and the way you look at the job. Mm-hmm. But in the story in the Wausau Daily Herald following his announcement, the Alderperson said, the main thing for me is to get back to the core basics. The mayor has switched the mission to a more aspirational theme. And I think we have to be more practical and get back to basic city duties we've been doing for over 100 years. I guess, you know, in terms of what I take from that statement is that maybe he feels like you've gone outside of the maybe the dollars in the sense and have tried to be maybe using a bully pulpit a little bit.
I have.
How do you respond to that? Do you feel like that there's any credence to what he says in terms of how you do the job and maybe how he would do the job differently?
Listen, I am certainly not the same mayor that we've had in the past. I approach things differently. I like to tell people about Wausau on a bigger level. We've been in the New York Times I don't know how many times. And people are asking, how did that happen? I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe they followed me on Twitter. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I do think it's important that we tell the story of Wausau. Because if we don't tell the story of Wausau, who is going to take pride in our place? We all got to be proud of where we live. I'm proud of every single person here that is contributing to making this a wonderful place. We have so many communities that have never had their voices represented in government before. And I've had people come up to me like, I've never felt like I could talk to the mayor before. You know why? Because they didn't look like them or they weren't saying things that resonated. So yes, if I'm going to be too aspirational, okay, that is great for me because our next mayor is going to be somebody different. And I hope that they are able to be true to themselves and true to the people that we're serving too. It's super important that people feel listened to and that they also feel like not just that they're listened to, but that we take them seriously and we're including their ideas in our policy making. I think that's really important. That's why we did the strategic plan. We had such a diverse group of people on this and it was incredible to see the ideas coming together. I'm like, can we do this? It's like, yes, we can. It's your city too. It was incredible. So like, those are the kinds of things we want to do. And if that's too aspirational, fine. I'm not going to be looking back 100 years and saying, oh yeah, maybe I should have been a little bit more cautious. I shouldn't have done what I thought was right. That's not how I do things. I'm going to do what I think is right every single time. And that includes fixing the water, fixing our roads, making sure we have the right people working for the city, and making sure we're being collaborative with our community and other units of government. I've never felt so listened to by the state government and by the federal government. When was the last time we had a White House visit? Mm-hmm. And that's because I wouldn't stop talking. They finally were like, all right, let's send somebody.
How about areas maybe outside, specific issues where you let your voice be heard? And I'll say the example of where we had the anti-Semitic issues. I imagine that, again, there are some folks that wouldn't want to put their toe in that and that basically, let the authorities deal with that and move forward. How do you look at that, again, that moral aspect of the job?
You are the heart and soul of your community sometimes. And sometimes that means allowing the people who represent those groups to have their message amplified. That's what we did with Community for All. When people felt like they weren't being listened to, I was like, let's have a press conference. You guys are talking. Why does this matter? And it did matter. It made an effect on our community. But when it comes to things like anti-Semitism, yeah, it's awful. I don't want it to exist. I think these people should shut up and be embarrassed about these viewpoints. But I don't get to tell people to shut up and and tell them. I mean, I do, but they don't have to. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's important. I had so many people reaching out to me. They're like, I'm Jewish and I don't feel safe saying these things. I talked to another friend who said, you know, I have a Jewish friend. And he said he asked me to post this for him because he as a Jewish man didn't feel comfortable. And he thought that me as an old white guy would lend some credibility to this concept. So again, like, if that's going to be, I need to be the voice of our community too. And sometimes that means having hard discussions and saying hard things and recognizing this is a problem.
Mm-hmm. The idea, because you are talking about those kind of issues, that somehow you're taking the eye off the ball when it comes to economic development. How would you argue that point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the job where you have to have multiple plates constantly, okay? We can never stop talking about economic development. That's why we have a brilliant economic development director and a great team to surround her with. They're bringing forth ideas all the time. And when folks on the council have ideas, they take them seriously. They talk through them. They plan with them. They meet with them. So the idea that you can only do one thing at a time when you're mayor is absurd because you have to constantly be doing five things at the same time.
Speaking of which, I've been watching the progress, you know, right across the street here for the last couple of months. We of course, talked a lot about Terry Wall and all that stuff. But it's been pleasant to look and to see the progress here. As we look at the downtown progress, obviously we'd love it to be quicker. But do you feel like, again, we're going down the right track here, that we are going to be at a point here in downtown Wausau that we want to be within, you know, a certain time frame that would be still good for the community.
We got to keep pushing forward. Obviously, we need more housing in general, and so that's a big part of the redevelopment plans. We got to make sure we're doing the right deals, the right partners, and all of that. And so, you know, we made the decision to not give people money up front, and that's on purpose because we don't want people taking our money and walking away with it and not doing anything. So once that asset is online, they can start collecting. So maybe that's slower. Maybe our development is slower because of that. I don't know. But we know that there's a lot of cool stuff happening. You can see the Children's Imaginarium. I know they have big ribbon cutting, I think, next week. So really exciting about that. I did get a little sneak peek. It is so much fun. I know what my great nephew will be getting for holidays. So, but yeah, I mean, we got to keep pushing. And also, you talked to the, you're now part of the downtown employee district, and you hear from people. They don't want a blank slate there for in perpetuity. They want something happening. They want people there.
And I think that, underline that. It's just when you see the progress, it makes everybody feel better.
Yes.
I mean, when things get so bogged down, and I think that's one of the big reasons why it was important, this whole discussion again with T. Wald and all that. We just don't want to be stagnant.
Right.
You know, you got to be moving forward. And at least now the idea is we get through winter, we're going to start moving forward again in that realm.
Yeah. And I'll say, I mean, we've had developers come to us like, hey, how do we get in on this redevelopment of the mall site? And of course, like, that's great to hear. We want all kinds of interest in this. So, you know, if this isn't something that works on one thing here, maybe we got something for them over there. So there's an opportunity there and people are excited about that.
All right. Well, I think we're going to finish it up there. I guess one final question is, we go to into this, you know, festive season.
Yes.
What's the best thing about Christmas time for you and your family?
Oh, my gosh. I think it's the opportunity to kind of slow down a little bit. I mean, I say that and I'm going to be running a million miles an hour, but it's just, it's really nice to be with my people and like have meaningful conversations and chill out. We need that. We all need that.
That is one of the great things because often, I mean, even for those of us who are, you know, we're raised in this area, you see your friends go off in other places and so often they'll come back this time of year. And it's, again, a chance to reconnect in so many different ways. So
get your Tom and Jerry.
Always good to reconnect with you.
Yep.
Enjoy December. We'll get you back sometime, I hope, in December.
Absolutely.
Well, we won't try to make you run around too much. But
all right.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau joining us. We're going to come back and wrap things up for this Tuesday morning. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app. Again, glad to have Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg with us this morning. And again, if you missed any of the conversation, coming up here in just a few moments after I get done with the program, I'll be posting on our website and where your podcasts are put the show today. Just go to bowfallsradio.com, click on shows, go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, or just go wherever you get your podcasts, as you can listen to any of the episodes you may have missed here of this program and other programs on the Civic Media Radio Network. So, again, always good to delve into things. And again, it's going to be interesting because I do think that there are so many interesting issues, and I look forward to talking to Alderperson Denny as well, get his thoughts, because, again, if we get the information out there, it's good for the community, and civic engagement, and that is so vitally important, and democracy, and again, I hear it from our bosses all the time, it's about democracy, it's about making this system work. And hopefully we can do that in a very important year of 2024. But it's still 2023. It is November the 28th of 2023. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1895, the first American automobile race took place over the 54 miles from Chicago's Jackson Park to Evanston, Illinois. Frank Duryea won in approximately 10 hours, so a long race in 1895. On this date in 1907, in Haverhill, Massachusetts, scrap metal dealer Louis B. Meyer opened his first movie theater. On this date in 1975, As the World Turns and The Edge of Night, the last two American soap operas that had resisted going to pre-taped broadcast, air their last live episodes. On this date in 1991, in a panic, a California turkey carver called the Butterball Turkey Talk Line and screamed there was no breast meat on his butterball. The phone helper, Jean Schnell, suggested he might have the bird upside down. She was right. On this date in 1995, President Clinton signed a road bill that ended the federal 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. On this date, 11 years ago today, in 2012, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, the first of the Hobbit film series, premiered in Wellington, New Zealand. On this date in 2016, Hamilton set a new record for most money earned in a week on Broadway, $3.3 million.
Great show.
I have not had a chance to see that one yet. I really would like to do that.
You can watch it on Disney Plus.
I don't have Disney Plus. I want to see it also live in a theater. That's my goal. And then finally, on this date in 2020, 3 years ago today, Joe Biden injured his foot playing with his dog, Major. So that's a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays. Motown Records founder Berry Gordy Jr., turning 94 years old today. Actor Ed Harris, he's done many, many great movies. Ed Harris is part of The Right Stuff, but also Top Gun Maverick more recently. He turned 73 years old today. S. Epatha Merkerson, she was a longtime cast member of Law & Order, 71 years old today. Actor Judd Nelson, turning 64. Jon Stewart, longtime host of The Daily Show, one of the great comedians of our time. Jon Stewart, also one of the smartest people of our time, turning 61 years old today. Actor Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Birds of Prey and 10 Cloverwood Lane is 39. Karen Gillan from the Jumanji films and Nebula in the Marvel films, turning 36. And Joe Cole, John Shelby on Peaky Blinders, is 35 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events today. It is Giving Tuesday. So if you have a special either college or special charity, today is Giving Tuesday. It is Letter Writing Day. Do it the old-fashioned way. Write a letter. It is French Toast Day. Are you a big fan of French toast?
I do like French toast. I don't have it often, but I do like it.
It is good stuff. So today, it is French Toast Day. It is Red Planet Day. And today, Turkey Leftover Day. So Turkey Leftover Day as well. So any leftovers yet?
Well, we did have a lot of leftovers after Thanksgiving, and we still have a little bit left, but it should be finished within the next couple of days.
Well, you ready for our number for the day?
I'll do my best, yes.
Our number for the day is 29.
Well, I know that's how old I am, but yeah.
No, it's not. It could be our number, but it's not our number for the day. 29 is the most operations that a football player had during a career.
Really?
Two players had 29 operations during their careers. Mark Schlereth of the Denver Broncos and Dan Hampton of the Chicago Bears. So those two players documented 29 different operations that they had during their career. So 29 is our number for the day.
Are those all in the same season?
No. Seasons? Career. Both those players had very long careers. Wow. So, man, I've only gone under one time in my life, and it was for a procedure when I was in the hospital about 3 years ago with pneumonia. They put me under and they cleaned out my lungs. The only time I was ever under anesthesia, and it actually went very smoothly. They put me under and I came back out smoothly, and it was like, wow, Cool.
One time I did that, I had all my wisdom teeth out at once, and then I counted backwards from a 10 to 0. I got to 5.
You were done.
I woke up in the lobby. I couldn't remember anything. Oh,
very good. Well, thanks to our guest again today, Katie Rosenberg, the mayor of Wausau. Thanks to Ian Welsh as well.
Have a good day, everyone.
Yep, absolutely. Stick around. No reason to turn the dial. CBS News is coming up next, followed by As Goes Wisconsin from 10 until noon. So that is straight ahead. Have yourselves a great day. I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock. Wausau West Hockey here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.